Welcome to the Newsbroom, your only gonzo.moe anime news podcast. I'm JP, I'm joined by Kyle and Vinny. How are you doing, Kyle?
Hey, I'm drinking tea. Blah, 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 dub, dub.
Me?
I don't know.
Me too. How about you, Vinny? Do you have any tea?
No, I have water.
Well, you know, that's that's
also
too bad.
A liquid.
Podcast yes. Over. I'm playing the music. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So we do an hour-long anime news podcast every week. It's a lot of stories from Anime News Network. Surprise, they're the number one anime news site. And I guess by default, we're probably number two because there aren't any more.
Anime Herald. Let's not discount them.
Yeah, I'm kidding. What do we do? We are on Twitter. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We have voicemails that we don't get. But if you want to leave one, it's 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. Vinny, you said that there was like a pretty big piece of news right before we started. I did not see it. Care to elucidate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think either last night or this morning I saw that... a YouTube channel, Ramona, is the name of the person who made it, made a documentary about her search for the Toon Makers American Sailor Moon pilot. And I haven't finished it yet, but I do believe it includes the full 17-minute pilot. And this was a kind of a weird animation, live-action hybrid.
That's really interesting. Did they just, like, find this in a archive vault, or did it say... How they located this?
No, I'm hour and a half into a 2-hour feature. So, but this is, I think, her second documentary about her search for this pilot.
Oh, well, that is cool.
Yeah.
I guess by next week, you'll probably have finished it, and maybe you could tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, hopefully there's an end story. We're going to dig into it a little bit.
Yeah, to remind me to bring it up. All right. Well, let's talk about the news.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
What a week. I got up uncharacteristically early, so all of these stories got posted at 9 in the morning, and so I don't remember what it's about. I feel like a lot of manga ended. I feel like some anime got release dates announced. That sounds pretty on par for what we normally talk about. So the first thing I have on here, we have some Harvey Award nominations. I feel like I should know what that award ceremony is, but I do not.
Oh, the Harvey Awards, it's, I guess, akin to the Oscars in that it's a comics award show, but it's the people who vote and nominate are actual comic professionals.
Okay. I knew it sounded familiar. I just couldn't remember specifically what it was. Okay, so a bunch of manga got nominated, which I guess should not come as a surprise, being that they are also... comics. We have Blood on the Tracks from Shuzo Oshimi, Blue Lock from Muniaki Kaneshiro. We have Cat Plus Gamer. I don't know that one. Chainsaw Man, Red Flower, and Spy Family. So there's two of these that I don't really know. Do either of you know Cat Gamer or Red Flower?
Can't say I do.
I know Cat Gamer is about like a gamer who adopts a cat, and it is in the large genre of cat manga. I think Zach Davis into the translation for it was a big push. They pushed it pretty hard to get that released.
Oh, Red Flowers with Drawn and Quarterly. That makes a little more sense because they tend to do like the like older prestigious stuff that like Viz wouldn't touch. All right, well, that's pretty cool. It looks like Chainsaw Man and Spy Family were nominated last year as well, and I think I read that Chainsaw Man won an award last year, but I couldn't say.
Yeah, we should point out this is a manga category in particular, which is also separate from international books.
I would.
Really sucks. They used to win more. It's kind of what happened with the manga category is a lot like what happened with the animation category of the Oscars, in that once... manga, like obviously manga sells a lot, but it was starting to compete with like the bigger titles, quote unquote, you know, like Western comics. And so they're like, oh, let's just give it its own category so we don't have to deal with it.
It's very funny to me like just what the state of like American comics are, in that, you know, you have things like The Avengers, which is this giant movie, and then you have comics of the same property getting outsold by like Naruto and One Piece. But who knows? There's a, what do you call it? A third season of Welcome to Demon Scroll, Arumakun. That is coming out October 8th. I feel like I should know what this is. And I look at the picture and I don't.
No, I'd never even heard of it. It looks like it's about competing with classmates to gather ingredients. So one of those cooking weird shonen shows. Probably.
Well, can't possibly be weirder than Food Wars or Toriko. Hunter x Hunter. We got some news from that, sort of. Togashi's not feeling well. We really need to leave this guy alone. Just let him not make the manga. Can we just agree on that?
Well, here's the thing. So I believe I did a little bit of independent look after this. So it seems like he had initially promised that he would finish like 10 issues or volumes or whatever.
Yes.
Of Hunter x Hunter. And then he thought he was doing well enough that he promised another 10. It seems like that first 10 is like more or less sent off and is now being, you know, edited and is going to be looked over. And I think that's coming out sometime later this year or early next. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like the progress on the second batch of 10 is not going well. And I, like you said, I really wish he just needs to take all the time he can. I hate to see him get hurt like this.
Yeah. Well, I know that we reported on the other 10 chapters or the first set of 10. But also, I don't know if I've ever heard Hunter cross Hunter. I think that's newsworthy.
Oh, right. Sorry. That's how I pronounce it in my head. I know that it's Hunter Hunter.
I mean, I vacillate between Hunter Hunter and Hunter X Hunter. I don't think
you know that we have a strange history on the on this podcast of pronouncing the X or the cross. Yeah, or
sometimes
not.
We do, sometimes we don't. Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel at this point, like, just tweet the ending of the story and call it a day. Let your assistants finish it. I don't know.
Does anyone know how, okay, does anyone read this or do they watch the anime?
I do not.
What, you have any?
I have not watched any of the Hunter x Hunter stuff.
I was just curious, like, you know, like, how far can he be from ending it? Like, for real? Like, you know?
I guess,
like,
I
is
don't
this one
know.
Of those where he's like, is this like 20 volumes away and he could like theoretically complete this? Or is this like, oh, damn, he's like 100 volumes away?
Well, it says, at least if Anime News Network is up to date, it says it's at 36 volumes. I don't know how often the Hunter x Hunter manga page is updated because this is all like fan submitted stuff. But that's a pretty decent run. That's what, 200 chapters at least. I mean, if you're going normal Shonen Jump length chapters, because I believe that, I think Demon Slayer is around that 25 volumes, and that's like 250 chapters.
Anyway, oh, wow.
Yeah, so we have some companies merging, Pony Canyon and Q-Tech, it looks like.
Did you see their new name?
It's Coop, and it kind of looks like poop.
It's either Coop or Co-op. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Co-op would make more sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little worried about this, aren't you guys?
Is this the same Pony Canyon that releases Blu-ray sometimes? Am I, like, thinking of another company? Did I make this up?
I think they... Go ahead.
I think that was the same Pony Canyon, but it looks like Pony Canyon had been bought out by the parents of Q-Tech earlier. And they're merging into their two post-production firms. So it's not necessarily like a full-on it's a merger of like sort of already owned assets, so closer to the Funimation Crunchyroll merger.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at their page on ANN, and there hasn't been any Pony Canyon news since like 2018. So maybe they haven't been doing much.
I'm just worried because, you know, like infamously, Q-Tech is known for their shitty upscales. And I, in this situation, is like, which company's tech is going to be dominant?
Oh, I was not familiar with Q-Tech or who they
are.
It's
like literally like a slang, like derogatory term of like what a crappy Q-Tech like upscale. Like they, I'm sure, I don't know how much better that, you know, their technology has gotten over the years. But for a long time, it was just like, oh, this looks like shit. It was probably a Q-Tech upscale.
Well, it looks like Gonzo has some history with Q-Tech. Not us. Gonzo, the animation studio, sold their digital division to Q-Tech back in 2009. Interesting. What do we have here? Mushoku Tensei. There was an unaired episode that came out on Funimation kind of quietly a few months ago. Maybe it was the beginning of the year. And now it's on Crunchyroll. So I guess that's how quickly they're merging things over. Jesus Christ. This, I believe, is an episode that takes place in the middle of season two. Because there is a point at which, because I know everybody cares, the main character gets put in jail. It actually happens more than once in the season. I think it's the first time he's put in jail. And so, if I'm remembering correctly, this is the episode that would take place from his teammates' perspective as they're on their way to break him out of jail. I don't know if that's actually what this is, but I remember there being something about an OVA that was that. So, what do we have? One Piece. Oh, I presume this is Luffy's one and only Japanese voice actor.
You got it.
She's saying she wants Luffy to be her final role. Probably.
Honestly,
could.
You better say good odds.
Probably only role on it. Like, what else? Is she in anything else?
She played Krillin in Dragon Ball. She was in Soccer Wars.
Okay.
She played Ryunosuke Fujinami in Urusei Yatsura.
I stand corrected. Has she been doing much since taking on One Piece? I imagine that's a full-time job.
Krillin. Yeah, still had several roles.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Krillin is in... I forgot that there's new Dragon Ball. My bad.
She was in Space Brothers as well as a major character.
All right.
As the mom.
Well, damn.
Also dubbed Short Round in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So... you know.
Well, I wonder how long One Piece is going to keep going.
Probably a few more years. Like, I'm like just guessing. I think we're probably still like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, but you're talking about manga or anime?
I mean, both.
Okay. What do we have next? Sword Art Online Progressive. This is the second film. It will be getting an IMAX screening in Japan. I don't know if I understand what IMAX is. Every time I see this, and I've been to them, is it just that the screen is curvy? Kyle, you're smart about movies.
Okay, IMAX is like the weirdest thing. So there it is, technically an IMAX standard. It's a bit like, what is it? The THX and that sound comes and it deafens you?
Yeah.
It's a standard, right? So the thing is, though, there's various IMAX standards. So there are true and proper IMAX screens, which are like have certain dimensions and they have certain sound requirements that you need. Mm-hmm. But there's only, I think, like 4 or 5 true IMAXs left. There's a lot of digital IMAXs, which are like really shitty IMAXs, basically. And that's what you see mostly. Like if you go to an AMC IMAX, the screen is marginally bigger and they have a few more speakers and it's basically indistinguishable from a regular ass movie theater.
I was wondering about that because I saw Ghost in the Shell in theory in IMAX and it felt like a normal movie to me.
Yeah, that's why I refuse to go to an AMC IMAX anymore. They're awful. But of course, there's so few true IMAXs left that you basically can't find them.
And those are mostly like museums and zoos and those kind of things.
Exactly. In terms of them saying this is an IMAX movie, I don't think it's a true IMAX anime. I think this is just like marketing speak. IMAX.
I guess what I wonder is if there's something different about the aspect ratio.
Well, it is. I mean, if you were following the Dune, the newest Denis Villeneuve, when that got released, it was actually filmed, a lot of it, for true IMAX, including the different aspect ratio. True IMAX aspect ratio is wild. It's closer to like 4:3, like old school Academy ratio and stuff.
So then the home release is just letterboxed, I assume?
Yeah, like it's very rare for us to get a home release with actual IMAX aspect ratio. I don't think it's happened outside of maybe like, you know, when you get like those science films, like you'll get Journey to Space, mm-hmm. IMAX, 3D. Like, I think sometimes those come out in that like weird aspect ratio, but that's because they Like they were just filmed that way, and they're not shown on 9 IMAX screens. Mm-hmm. For most movies, though, we just get the regular ass, more or less, like 16:9, or you know, or maybe letterbox slightly, but not actual like pillar box or anything crazy.
Well, if you're in Japan and want to see a maybe fake IMAX, sort out online. There you go. So this one, it took me, I had to like read back to understand what was going on. There's a manga called Gorilla Man 40. It is ending August 22nd. And where I got confused is because it said it was the 40th anniversary, but the manga started in 2020. I had to read down to find that this was a sequel to a series that started in, what, the 80s? It would have to be, right?
Yeah.
It's 40 years old. And this is from the creator of Beck. Which I didn't realize they were that old. So that's pretty cool. But it's ending. So I guess that's not cool. I don't know what to tell you. But if you like Gorilla Man, you don't get much more of it. Sorry. More not great news. Ubukata, that name comes up every once in a while. He got arrested for domestic abuse in 2015. There's a manga based on one of his novels, and it's coming to an end. So I guess that's double not great? I don't know. It's called Bye Bye Earth. One Piece. This is related to the movie, One Piece Red. I was talking about this with, I don't know, somebody yesterday about how One Piece kind of got done dirty in the United States. Do we have like a One Piece Red screening upcoming? I feel like we would have talked about that by now.
I don't think it's been announced, but I would assume it's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll probably just come a little bit later. Yeah, I think you're right. One Piece, like I know it's popular, but I don't. It's not like it's. I don't think it's ever reached like a Dragon Ball level of mass culture in terms of like you can go to it. Like right now, you can go see Dragon Ball Super Supers in a movie theater, pretty like probably really close to you. I don't think we've seen that same level of something like again. One Piece is big. So yeah. It's very strange.
I just can't think of One Piece being in theaters here. I'm assuming it has, right?
Yeah. I think all the recent films, maybe not Strong World, but I think since then, yeah, I've been.
I didn't know.
I saw a film Gold when it first screened.
I really want, like, I would like to see this in a theater. This looks like one of the more interesting One Piece films. I hope we get it, and I hope we get it sooner rather than later.
Well, so the news. One Piece Red has become the franchise's number one film within 10 days, and it is currently at 8 billion yen, it looks like. That is, where is it? $58.9 million. I say this every time. I don't really have a concept of what a good number of tickets for movies are, but that sounds like a lot of money. I guess if it's the top film in the franchise, that's probably a lot.
It's nearly 6 million tickets sold, so.
I don't know what an average is, though. But good for One Piece. Dragon Ball, you two were talking about this when I was making tea. Dragon Ball's coming to Fortnite.
Well, Dragon Ball's already in Fortnite.
Oh, did this happen?
Oh, right now.
Oh, this
you
is
can
right
play
now.
It right now.
That's great if you want to play Goku and, I don't know, probably do those dances.
Yeah, we were commenting on it, though. It's so weird. So this was obviously done to coincide with the release of the new movie. But the only Dragon Ball characters you can play in this new Fortnite update are Goku, Vegeta, Bulma, and then that weird, like, naked cat thing.
Yeah.
There's no... You can't play as Piccolo.
Oh, is the new movie Piccolo-centric?
Oh, Dragon Ball Super Superhero is a Piccolo film.
It's like, entirely. I've heard it's Gohan and Piccolo, right? Like, they're
it's
kind of
Piccolo
the mains.
With Gohan, like, these are all minor characters in this film, in the new film.
Yeah, but, like, you can't play as either of those characters, of the main characters of this new movie in this update. But the cool thing is that the voice, because you can get two items in gameplay, right? You can get the Kamehameha, mm-hmm. and then you can get the Flying Nimbus. But when you use Kamehameha, it uses the voice sample, not from San Shemmel. in the English dub, but it uses the original Japanese Kamehameha. So it's cool. Like this, you know, like in terms of these weird crossovers, this is kind of neat, but it is also very strange if they're trying to promote this new movie.
Yeah, this feels based on Battle of Gods, because this also is made out of a cruise ship, and I know most of that film takes place on a cruise ship for Bulma's birthday.
Maybe they just had this planned and didn't get around to it. But yeah, it looks like it's some characters, and I'm assuming some maps based on...
You can go that Kami House has been integrated into the Fortnite map, and you can go fly there and, you know, tear down the walls. And you can, like, get a... what's the dragon called? The actual dragon? Shenron?
Yeah.
You can get, a Shenron glider and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just, like, kind of... and there's, like, a few quest lines where, like, you can find Capsule Corp stuff. And
that's neat.
But it's... Yeah, it's neat.
Not enough to get me to play Fortnite, but it seems pretty cool. I tried to play that game one day because it's, like... I'm pretty sure it's free. I would not have paid money to play Fortnite.
It is free.
And I could not for the life of me figure out what I was doing.
Yeah. It's a little better since they added a no build mode, but it is still, there's a lot going on in that game.
What do we have next? Tomino. After the G-Racco films are completed, he wants to travel the world in 90 days or whatever. How many of those movies do we got left? Because he is 90 years old. 80 years old?
This is the final one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. 80. Sorry.
It just opened up on August 5th. So he's just about, it looks like he's done, but of course we're still waiting. How many behind are we? How many have we gotten?
Oh, I think they streamed the first three, maybe the first four. It's been I think the first three, because I think last two came out pretty recently.
Right.
And they have not had a reasonable release though.
Yeah.
But I think G-Recco has been mostly buried, for better or worse.
Oh, it says, this is sad. He says he wants to do it, but he probably can't due to his health. Yeesh. Well, sorry, dude. Ascendant Animation. This company comes up not super often, but I like to talk about them when they do. They are a dubbing studio that was founded by dub actors, and they usually get short stuff and porn, and they have licensed... Showtime, which it looks like it was like a series of shorts for Anime Festa. And if you read the forums, it sounds like it's also porn. But I don't, I'm not familiar with the title. What does it say? Oh, there's an on-air version and an explicit version. I don't know. I think it's cool whenever smaller companies do stuff. And this is just another example. What do we have? Oh, this is a follow-up to, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
We had, I assume this is the same guy. It's Zion Williamson. I don't remember if we said their name last time, but we played a clip of a basketball player that got a bunch of like Naruto merch. And I guess there's a quote from that person saying that 80% of the players in the league are into anime. They just won't admit it. This kind of doesn't surprise me, but I want to apply it to everybody. I think a lot more people watch anime than are willing to admit it. They may not be super fans that go to conventions or, you know, have podcasts or listen to podcasts, but a lot more people are into anime than will ever tell you. I don't know if it's 80% of people, but yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense also. Obviously, if you're an NBA player, you're probably younger, so you've probably had just more exposure in your lifetime as a percentage of what's been available.
Yeah, well, and just like with the proliferation of Crunchyroll, like non-anime fans know what Crunchyroll is. We're kind of at that point. And, you know, like I feel like one of you mentioned this recently, like we have Goku in the Macy's parade. Like it's yep. A mainstream thing at this point. We have a manga that is getting launched in September called Get Yourself an Aromantic Guy from Kazumi Kazui. And it is unsurprisingly about the relationship between a couple where the guy is aromantic. That is, I believe that is when you don't really have romantic feelings. Should be an interesting one. The Country Without Humans, that is a manga that will end with its fifth volume. Is this from anybody notable that I would remember? It looks like Seven Seas is putting the manga out, so the fifth volume is scheduled for next year. So look forward to that. What else do we have? Another manga ending? Jesus. I think there's... Oh, God. There's another one after that. This one's called Musidae Tsunade, and that ends in its next chapter. Whether that's already come out or not, I couldn't say. Oh, this one... I was reading this article earlier. I don't know if either of you did any deeper digging, but it's like, it's two friends that don't have a lot in common, and they still hang out until ... And I didn't know what the, like, twist was. But
Yeah, no, like, I was reading it, and it doesn't, like, from what they've said, I don't know why I would read this ever.
No, they don't really give a hook. Maybe that's why it's ending.
Yeah.
But it's from the author of Engaged to the Unidentified, which I'm not familiar with, but it got an anime, I believe. Because somebody in the forums was saying they really liked the anime. Moving on. More manga ending. I can't imagine anybody that listens to this podcast cares about Disney-based manga. But there is Disney Twisted Wonderland episode of... Oh, goodness. I don't know what that word is. Heart Slabule. That is a manga ending in its fourth volume this winter.
It sounds like Disney trying to do a connected universe Disney of Harry Potter. What? I could not give less of a shit.
Yeah. Each word in this title glazes my eyes more and more.
Yeah, this... I feel like... Well, no, their name isn't listed in here anywhere. I thought maybe this was something Tokyopop was doing, but...
It feels a little bit because they did a lot of them.
Oh, they did Nightmare Before Christmas. I think that's why I'm thinking. Anyway, well, sorry your weird Disney stuff is ending.
Okay, this is based on a rhythm game.
Yeah?
Yeah. Again, the more you learn, the less interesting it becomes.
Disney's Twisted Wonderland is a Japanese gacha game.
Excellent.
Yes.
Again, every fact kills me a little more.
This was a follow-up to something we talked about a couple months ago. Toonami had a handful of originals in production. This one was, I believe, an original, not like based on a manga or anything, called Housing Complex C, and that now has a premiere date of October 1st. It looks like there is a teaser. I did not have a chance to watch that. This is about Kimmy, who lives in a small, low-cost housing complex on a seaside town where trouble seems to follow her wherever she goes, and there's an accident and evil stalking the residents. I don't know. That's a very generic description, but...
It is. The teaser's very short. It just kind of shows some cool imagery of, you know, like a little bit horror-themed. But in terms of this guy, Yuji Nara, who's directing this, I looked him up on ANN, and it says he has done nothing else.
Nice.
Interesting.
Got so, him. Hey, you know, this is really a clean slate. No idea how this will turn out.
I want to be hopeful because the Toonami original anime, so far I haven't seen like anything that's the worst. I've seen ones that weren't for me. Like the Blade Runner CG thing, that's just not for me, but it seemed like people were watching it and seemed like people enjoyed it. Shenmue, I didn't watch that either, but like we look at the ratings every week. People were watching Shenmue. I liked Fena, you know, their Foolie Cooley stuff was decent enough. I never finished it, but I liked what I saw. So I will check out the first episode or two of this. And I guess, why is Miley Cyrus? Hold on. What is happening? Miley Cyrus
the
is
animation
in this article?
Studio worked on an ad.
Okay. For a minute, I thought, is she in this?
No, but, you know, it's coming out October. It's a nice horror theme. So even, you know, like it'll probably be a good thing to watch. We'll be in the mood.
Yeah.
And we'll probably watch an episode or two and talk about it on No Name.
Shine Post. That is. Is that something you've watched, Kyle? Why do I think you've watched this?
I can. If Kyle does, I'm shocked.
No, I have not. We talked about this though a few weeks ago. It's. I think I was maybe complaining about. We were like. I think one of our weeks we had a lot of idol stuff in a row, and okay. Then I might have said something.
This is an anime about idols. It looks like maybe cheerleaders. I don't know. It kind of looks like a pom pom in one of these photos. It is going to be delayed due to COVID, episode 7 and beyond. So we don't really know. Let's see. Episode 7 to air August 30th, 8 through 9, September 6th, 13, 10, 12 on 4, 11, and 8. Well, that's confusing. Why are they listing them out of order like that? Oh, I'm misreading it. That's why. 8 and 9 is on September 6th and 13th. That's where I'm misreading. And then 10 and 12, October 4th. 11th and 18th. Anyway, I'm sure that's a lot more news than anyone cares to hear about an idol show, but it's unfortunate that the staff is sick. Something that is pretty cool, Eden Zero. I know Kyle's not into this because it's just Space One Piece. I really liked the first season, though. It is from Hiro Mashima, who did Fairy Tail and Ravemaster. And it was really good. It was on Netflix, and we're getting more of it in 2023.
You see, I actually am a little bit interested in it now that I've read the article, because you say it looks like One Piece, but to me it kind of looks like a less personality Phantasy Star Online, which I like. But it sounds like there's a game, like an actual RPG coming to consoles at some point. And I would maybe check that out, but... From what you just said, it sounds like now I wouldn't like it. So now I'm sad.
I don't know enough about Phantasy Star to be able to confirm or deny your suspicions.
Oh, I'm talking about the game, not the anime.
Oh.
Yeah, it just kind of looks like a generic kind of like sci-fi JRPG.
Well,
I don't know.
Hiro Mashima anime is usually pretty, what do you call it? I don't know, digestible, predictable. If you like one thing... You're probably going to like the others.
Well, if you like Tales of, you'll like this. Something.
Well, I don't know. I'm talking about like if you liked Ravemaster or Fairy Tale, you'll probably like Eden Zero.
Got it. So I should not check this out.
Yeah, if you didn't like either of those, then there's not a whole lot for Eden Zero to give you. What do we have? Netflix, the Cyberpunk Edge Runner anime. Wasn't there a preview of this at Otakon?
Yes. I think I don't know if it was completed though. Like I think they showed like a rougher version of it.
Yeah, I think
gonna have a Franz Ferdinand OP. I dig that.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, this fire, that's gonna be the OP song. I like that.
So it looks like that's coming out September 13th on Netflix. What do we have? Oh, this was a I would have liked to have read more about this, but I did not. I took a nap before we started. There was a discussion at a school, it looks like, about whether Gundam is actually anti-war or glorifying it. And I think that's really interesting. Did either of you read more in depth on this?
I did.
I read the article. What's that?
Kyle, you said you looked more into it?
No, I did, but if Vinny wants to go first, that's cool.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, okay. It seems pretty simple, right, Vinny? He doesn't go super in-depth on this. It seems like he kind of does, like, he goes, oh, okay, like, yes, is there a problem with adapting, you know, like, something that is maybe even anti-war? Like, is there a problem? Do people suddenly view that differently in media? Like, can that make it positive? Yes, the answer. I mean, goodness, there's that famous Gundam meme, right?
Mm-hmm.
I literally pull this out all the time and send it to people of just the, right, the war is bad right over the guy's head. And he goes, wow, robots, cool. I mean, you know, so this guy is just saying, like, oh, my gosh, it's like, should we maybe look closer at what's being depicted rather than like enjoy it in a kind of a consumerist, compartmentalized, fetishistic way? But he kind of completes his own argument. He goes back and forth to the two or three basic points. And he is just like, yeah, like, you know, like, hey, like, I know it's a problem, but, you know, we all do it. And he, and it just, This is a weird thing, because I don't think he goes that deep into it. So, like, I don't know why he did it in the first place. And then he kind of answers his own question. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is also an article, a summary of a translation.
Right. He does call out a few anime in particular, which he thought were, like, maybe did it better than others. So he says, like, yes, I think that Gundam is, like, you know, like, for all intents and purposes, was very intentionally trying to be an anti-war narrative. But, of course, people did like it. And then he also says, he talks about The Wind Rises, which was the last film that Miyazaki's released as of yet. And yeah. How he thought that that was a pretty good compromise, because that film, the character himself is struggling with this idea in that, you know, he is an engineer and he's trying to build this plane. But of course, ultimately, we know that the plane he's building will become the Zero, and so much loss of life will come from that. But the film is about that. Yeah. And he says that, like, he appreciates that, like, it's not just trying to come up with an easy answer, that it's like actually struggling with that. And he thinks that's a good move. And I agree. That's one of my favorite Miyazaki films. And I like that approach.
It's a tough thing with making films, because there is obviously going to be a point where the audience doesn't get the message and they just think that it's like a cool whatever. But I feel like Gundam, maybe in the beginning, had a pretty good anti-war message, but that, to me, ends after decades of selling toys and doing spin-offs.
At that point, some of them are better than others. I mean, for example, I don't think anyone's going to argue that Build Fighters is an anti-war anything.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, even without having seen any of this stuff, I feel like your allegory about whatever, once it becomes commercialized to the point where there's, like, you know, so many things in the thing that it's hard to get the timeline right, like, it seems that you're making something for other reasons at that point.
Right. But I mean, I do think that if you look at, you know, Tomino with, like, Jireko and his other stuff, like, he consistently has been very anti-war.
Oh, for sure.
And he continually drills that in. And I think that's kind of what this author is getting at, of just, like, it's important to, like, not give up. Like, it's like, maybe it's a losing battle and it is, like, a problem inherent to the system in which we interact with these things, but you should still try because it's important. And he talks about the idea of, like, oh, like, you know, even me, like, I'm doing this talk and I'm a professor who studies this, but even I, like, I'm a bit of a military otaku and stuff. And he goes, like, you just have to be constantly, like, looking at yourself and kind of reminding yourself that, like, yes, like, this is entertainment, but you should never start, like, or you should always equate that, or just be mindful of the fact that, like, the things that it's depicting are ultimately harmful and are bad.
I think we talked about this a little bit on the No Name show, where it's like, well, I hate cops, but I like Mad Bull, and I can recognize that I don't think Mad Bull would be good in real life.
Yes. I mean, it's the problem of all anti-war stuff, though, right? I mean, as long, you know, if you show someone a thing, right, the inherent problem, or the great thing about images is that you can't control how they will be interpreted. So, you know, you could make the most anti-war film in the world, right? You could make, like, a film all about the Holocaust, but then you're going to get some fucking Nazi who sees that shit and goes, yeah, that's good. So ultimately, yeah, human beings are a mistake.
That's what Jesus. Was difficult about Shooting Hunters. It was an anti-Nazi TV show, but in doing it, we had to show depictions of Nazis, like, at the camps. And it's like, this is really uncomfortable. But ultimately, it's about hunting Nazis. But yeah,
anyway. Good.
Got some more idol stuff. Eternal Boys, that is about middle-aged idols, and it's coming out October 10th.
So are they all, like, they're still in high school though? Yeah.
Oh, well, that's weird.
They do not look middle-aged,
right? They all look, yeah, but they're supposed to be in their 40s and stuff.
Well, I've got some good news. That 4K Wings of Oniamis thing is coming out courtesy of Section 23. So I guess good and bad news. I would have rather somebody else got it, but it's coming out regardless. So that's pretty cool.
Looks like it's going to be pretty expensive. I got an email from Right Stuff, and I don't know if this is the official release or if it's just like an import thing. but it sounded to me like the thing that WriteStuff sent me said it was going to be like $140 area.
Oof.
Which I would pay if I had a job. And I'm really, I'm just really desperate now to get a job before this thing gets released because I don't want to miss it. If this ends up being like a limited release and I have to pay $400 on eBay down the road, I'm going to be pissed.
Let's see. It has subtitles, the dub, the audio version of the pilot film. That's interesting. As well as a collection of background music and the document file, which I think that's that documentary we talked about. Yeah, if that's, what did you say, like $140?
Yeah, it's like somewhere in like the 130, 140 area. Jesus. But that's, again, but the way it was phrased made it seem like it was maybe just the same Japanese release that was being brought over, and maybe this stuff is all included on the Japanese release.
Oh, yeah. Now that
that's how it made it sound. I'll have to double check.
Yeah, it says it's the same thing getting released in Japan and North America at the same time. Interesting.
So in that sense, I wonder if it would be cheaper to go through Amazon Japan than through WriteStuff.
Yeah. It says it's coming out November 4th.
Has Senpai done a 4K release of anything yet?
I don't think so. I mean, no, really,
this is a big deal.
There aren't a whole lot. G-Kids has some 4K. Obviously, Discotech, Funimation, I think, has one thing. And then, yeah, Sentai, I don't believe, has anything. Media Blasters hasn't done anything. Ghost in the Shell was like a non-anime company. We don't get a ton of those.
This is the title to get, though, people. This, alongside Akira, two of the greatest. And for the record, I mentioned Akira because that's the other title that from that era. It also was a 4K release. But this is one of the most impressive examples of that era. So I could talk so much about it. I won't. But don't miss this if you can and have access to a 4K.
All right. Review Starlight. That had a movie. It's going to High Dive August 24th. One Punch Man. That's getting another season. I saw a lot of people not excited about this. Sounds like season 2 wasn't great. I have not seen any of it.
I mean, I think that they're also, I'm speaking for myself, I don't know how you feel, Vinny, but like, I think the very idea of One Punch Man is not conducive to a long-running series.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
That first season, I think, worked out really well, and it knows its conceit, and I think One is a very good comedy writer in that way, and knows how to make that story work.
Right, but it's like a simple gimmick is the problem, right? Like, the longer it goes on, like, it doesn't have more than that. It says, it mentions down that we've already heard of that they're making a movie. Like, I feel like that's a better format for something like One Punch Man.
The manga has also taken a break before coming back with a new arc. It is going on a 1 month hiatus. What else do we have? Gundam the Witch from Mercury, that prologue thing that streamed at, was it Comic Con?
There was AX.
AX, maybe. Right? It was that at right. A recent convention. That is going to be streaming starting September 1st for people outside of Japan.
And that will be on the Gundam.info YouTube channel.
Oh, goodness.
Where Gundam streams their stuff, though. It'll be like 3 days. That'll be up there. don't miss it, because that's your only chance to see things, like the Jireko films.
Jesus. So 3x3 Eyes, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. I didn't realize they had a manga going on. It looks like it was launched in 2016, and that is coming to a conclusion at some point. It says approaching climax. That is one of the few anime that Keith David is in. Maybe the only. The Witch and the Beast. That is a manga, and it is getting an anime. That is all I have to say about that. Kubo Won't Let Me Be Invisible. That is a upcoming anime. It is getting a premiere in 2023. Do It Yourself. That is a show that we've been talking about a bit. That is coming out October 5th. So that is cool. Cloverworks did a short for a color test company. This is an interesting concept. I skimmed through the anime. It's not in English, but it's very short. It's like maybe 2 minutes long. And it seems that this is based on some kind of an evaluation you can do that tells things about how colors influence people.
For graphic designers everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. But yeah, it's not in English. So I guess look at it and maybe guess what it's about. I don't know. Sounds like there's another episode coming out in a couple, what is it today, the 20-something? I don't know. Another episode comes out on the 25th, it looks like. What do we have next? My Dress Up Darling. I was rewatching some of that recently. The ending theme song has been streamed over 10 million times. Not a surprise, because it's a pretty good song. Surname? I'm not familiar with this one, but it is an anime that is getting a second season, January 2023.
Yeah, it looks like it's about a group of male, like high schooler archers.
Oh. Well, and there's Pony Canyon right there. Yeah, this looks interesting. At least the poster looks pretty cool. Here's some isekai news. I got a cheat skill in another world. That's getting an anime at some point. Legend of Mana, Teardrop Crystal. That is getting premiered October 7th. Yeah, you know, I'm realizing that we're what? Probably halfway through the summer season. I didn't realize the fall season was that close that we're getting all these upcoming shows. Jesus. Goodbye, Don Gleese. That's something that comes up every couple of weeks. We have some screening dates, but they're not in the headlines, so I have to click on this. There was also
September 14th, 18th, and 20th, although the 14th and 20th will be subs, and then on the 18th, they will screen the dub.
All right. What else do we have? Comic Heaven Magazine switches to a monthly schedule March 2023.
Some of the, I'm not saying I read this or know what they do, but this is one of the only times recently that we have not had to like announce, this is going to digital only. This is actually a magazine where they are changing from bi-monthly or bi-weekly rather to every single month. Oh my gosh. Print's coming back, guys.
Oh,
nature is healing.
You know, I only read the headline and I assumed that they were weekly and going to monthly. I didn't realize that this was the reverse, that you're now getting more issues. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. For those who like seinen and you can read Japanese.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
What do we have? Val X Love. That is a manga that is ending with its 16th volume in spring. So what is that, next spring? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, next spring is the last, gonna be the last volume of whatever this is.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. There's so much stuff that like I feel like I should recognize more of this with how like we look at the news every week, and every week I get surprised by stuff I've never heard of.
Square Enix one. I think it sounds like he's just a regular high schooler when 9 Valkyries come barging into his house and they have to raise his level, which apparently they do by maybe boning.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Shiki Zakura, that is a manga that I maybe don't know about, and that's ending with its 4th volume this January. It started in 2020. That's something else I'm noticing is a lot of these things that started in 2020 are like all ending now.
It feels like a normal length for a series, though. Like it's like that 4 or 5 volumes about how many of the longer series run.
Yeah, so. I guess that's fair.
It could also be, though, potentially related to just like, viewership numbers are going back to normal. Maybe we overextended slightly. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Here is another thing coming to a conclusion, Remake Our Life. That is a light novel series. The last arc starts in the 11th volume. Here's something that isn't surprising. MAPPA, the company that's doing the Chainsaw Man anime, probably getting a ton of hype about Chainsaw Man, and says, you know what, we'll make the other stuff this guy makes if they let us. So I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I imagine if the Chainsaw Man anime does well enough, it would at least open up the potential. to that, because I know there is there's like a handful of shorts, and then there is Fire Punch, which I believe is 10 or so volumes. So there is more, there's more stuff to make if this does very well.
They're not too busy making
everything else
Chainsaw Man for the next while.
Yeah. Well, Chainsaw Man's not that long. It's only
they have like catch up to do. Sure. So, you know, you never know like what the pace is going to be like. I don't think it's going to be a One Piece, you know, of like extending it that much, but yeah. It's you don't know how long it'll take them to catch up.
It's only like, I don't even think it's 100 chapters. Cuz it ended kind of prematurely, I feel, cuz it got too racy for Shonen Jump. And then they took a 2-year break. So the sequel series only just started. But they wrapped up whatever arc they were on in like 90-something chapters. Anyway, moving on. Oh, this one was really funny. So I don't know any of what's happening in this. It's like some video game and some VTuber. The VTuber was playing the video game and then got a copyright takedown from the CEO of the video game company because the CEO didn't realize that they had already given permission to play the game.
Yeah.
Very, very silly.
Copyright strikes, they're totally good, and this is fine.
Yeah. We talked about this at length on the No Name show, but now I've actually had time to read through the article. Vic Mignogna has lost the appeal of the defamation case. It started, what, 2019? He sued Monica Rial, Jamie Markey, Ron Toy, and Funimation, and the case got thrown out. And then he took it to appeals, and that was, 3 years ago? Maybe more than 3 years ago? And they finally made a ruling, and they said, nope, this is not defamation, and you actually owe more money to the people you were suing now. Because I think originally he only had to pay like some of their court fees.
And it was $100,000, but it says that they countered and said that, hey, like it cost us nearly $300,000.
Yeah. So my interpretation of this is that now he has to pay all of it. But
He has to pay it sounds like he has to pay whatever is like his cost in the meantime, maybe, and then he also has to pay $15,000 in sanctions.
What a great hole you've dug yourself into. It also is kind of a bummer that they went through all of this to come out even. Like, that sucks. But I guess you don't owe anybody money. What do we have? Another Idol series. This is confusing. It's called Third Beat, but it's the second... Oh, no, it's the second half of a season. So it is probably the third season of this series.
I'm showing numbers here. Idolish 7.
Yeah, Idolish 7, Third Beat, season second half, coming out October 2nd. Wow. Raven of the Inner Palace, that is some anime. I don't know, we're running out of time. That's coming out October 1st. Crunchyroll Awards. Ooh, don't have enough time to talk about how much I love the Crunchyroll Awards. They're moving that to Japan for some reason. I thought they were just letting it die. Because last award ceremony, they cared so little that they just posted the winners on like a blog post.
No, this is them like making it bigger.
Yeah.
Like, this is like this is like legitimately good news if you care.
It's just so bizarre because they've been paring it down year by year. And like you could argue that one of them was because of COVID, that they did like the virtual one. But then the year after, they just said, here's the winners. So now they're like, actually, we want to spend more money on that thing.
Yeah, I wonder if that kind of happened, though, because of the merger, they weren't sure what they were going to do with it.
Yeah.
Now it sounds like Sony Music is like putting their back to it and like, yeah, we're going to support this.
I just have such trouble with like the largest anime company having an award ceremony. Like, that really should be a third-party thing, but whatever.
Yeah, the Crunchyroll Awards for Crunchyroll.
I mean, we see how well that works for the Annie Awards.
Yeah.
Where they're technically third-party, wink, wink.
Space Channel 5 and Comic Zone are maybe getting movies? That's cool.
News is really cool.
I don't know how you make a Space Channel 5 movie, but I'll go see it. I love that video game.
All I'm saying is, you know, like, people were kind of making fun because this, you know, obviously these have been defunct for a long time, but like you know, Comic Zone. If they were to do something that was very Comic Zone styled and like lean into the comic book aesthetic, which we haven't really seen very much since what, Ang Lee's Hulk in 2003, how fucking rad would that be?
Pretty
and
dope.
And of course, Space Channel 5, an all-time banger soundtrack, really cool style. Although I feel like the perfect era to make that movie would have been like after Spice World. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, they got to get Apollo Song to play Ooh La La. I don't know what she's doing these days, but gotta make it real. I don't know. My Isekai Life, that is an anime that's getting a dub. It's streaming probably on Crunchyroll August 22nd.
Day that this should be coming out.
Yes, by the time you hear this. Dragon Ball Super Super, that has earned $10.7 million on opening day. There was an interesting article where they pitted Idris Elba against Dragon Ball Super. They're like, "Will Dragon Ball Super sell more?" And it did.
Oh, this actually. So yeah, it's opening day. It sold 4.3, but it's opening like weekend total, or combined opening day, because apparently that was like on Thursday, which was a preview. Then on Friday, the actual opening, it made 6.4. So over its in its opening day, quote unquote, of 10.7, it sold more than Dragon Ball Super Broly, which was the previous highest earner Dragon Ball in theaters.
Oh, that's cool.
That earned 9.8 over its entire weekend. But this is also showing in three times as many locations.
That's
so
fair. I've not seen it yet. I may. We'll see. So last week we did not have Toonami numbers because they came out like 3 days ago. So this is from August 6th. A lot of stuff went up. Primal had almost 40,000 more people. Yashahime had almost 50,000. Lupin the Third, almost 30. One Piece also did pretty well, nearly 40 and 30,000. And then as we get later on the night, it's not as many, but it's still more than the previous week. And then they lost all of them because August 13th, everybody across the board lost. It looks like more people than they gained, or pretty close. So I don't know what was going on August 6th, but can't win them all. Okay, so our Right Stuff bestsellers. Let's see what we got. Blu-ray, Konosuba Season 1, plus OVA at number 10. Urusei Yatsura, Remember My Love at number 9. Violet Evergarden at number 8. Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory. Classroom, maybe? I don't know. It's cut off. That's at number 7. Wolf's Rain.
That's a classics. It's a classics.
Oh, classics. I thought that might have been part of the title. Wolf's Rain, that's at number 6. Project Eiko is at number 5. Urusei Yatsura Only You at number 4. Konosuba, Season 2 plus OVA at number 3. Nichijou Essentials at number 2. And Big O at number 1. I feel like this is the exact same list as last week.
I was going to say... Yeah, this feels exactly the same.
Yeah, this looks like it's... Have they...
They killed our best segment, the one that viewers... I mean, they don't even listen to the rest of the episode. They just skip right to this one.
Did they? Oh my God, yeah. If you look at the DVDs and everything, it's all... They took resources away from the only reason to listen to the Newsbroom. Because you can't go to write stuff on your own. How dare you? I'm going to write
a... You know what? Maybe this is just because they're changing offices. Someone forgot. You know what? Let's report back in a week, folks.
Yeah, maybe they sent it off. They're like, look, we're still going to do the best of, but it's going to be on its own website coming soon.
Yeah.
WriteStuffRatings.com. I'm going to send a personally...
Only worded email.
Yeah.
Or a
Sean
tweet.
Kleckner, you son of a bitch. You sold Right Stuff to Crunchyroll, and look what they've done. Look what they've done to my boy. They've massacred him, or whatever that quote is. Is that Scarface?
No, it's The Godfather.
Same movie, probably. Is El Pacino in both of those? He is now. Okay. This is the Gonza.moe, No Name. No, it's not. It's the Newsbroom. No Name Show comes out maybe on Wednesday. I don't know. We talked about Licorice Recoil and Zom 100 and a lot about Vic Mignogna. You can find more episodes at gonzo.moe. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts. You can leave a voicemail at get this thing out of my window, 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. You think by now I would have that number memorized. Yeah. That's a podcast. I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry that I don't have more exciting news.
Okay.
We don't make the news, so we just read it.
Yeah, we just read it. I'll see you next time.